episode 54 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise. This episode, we've got the blether about camber, we've got the Allegra Aleta knit along, the bookmark swap, and I have a review of Spin Control by Amy King. I'll let you know what the Me Show has been up to. So all the links are in the show notes, but come from where you download this from, so relax, get your links later on. I'm sponsoring this by my own business, Energy Hunt Limited, www.energyhunt.com, which has got nothing to do whatsoever with craft, but everything to do with Northern Scotland's premier renewable engineering service, because it pays my wage, therefore your podcast. Get your cup of tea, your craft, and I'll tell you what crack is in Caithness this week.
Now for the blather.
Away and sit in for a blather. Keep camber and carry on. This blather is about camber. I did a bit of research, and according to Wikipedia, which obviously we know is true, might be, camber is also called cant. In civil engineering, cant is often referred to as cross slope or camber. It helps rainwater drain from the road surface. Along straight or gently curved sections, the middle of the road is normally higher than the edges. And this is called normal crown, and it helps shed rainwater off the side of the road. During roadworks, it involves lengths of temporary carriageway, the slope may be the opposite to normal, i.e. with the outer edge higher, which causes the vehicles to lean towards incoming traffic. In the UK, this is indicated on warning signs as adverse camber. Okay, so I'm talking about the slope of a road today. Why in all that's crafty goodness doth I refer to a road angle? Well, one morning I woke from a dream where I was on the adverse camber and I felt wrong. And I was on the right road, but my angle was wrong. And I woke and was literally on the other side of the bed to where I normally sleep, due to hubby cuddling small people and me being displaced to the other side of the bed. I didn't get out of that side of the bed, but I remembered the dream and the feeling of, well, just being off. It was a while ago, and last episode I referred to myself as having no crafty mojo. I felt out of camber with craft. I was not alone, because a few other listeners and podcasters have said the same. Not just recently, just over the matter, of course. One lovely listener was feeling downright rubbish, and I sent her the Daisy Giggle, and this message, which I don't think she'll mind me sharing due to the fact that I'm not mentioning her name, and I wrote it. I said, "Okay, listen to me, and listen to me good." And it was obviously in this tone of voice. "Looking at mirror, that person looking back is wonderful. She's charming, funny, entertaining, very talented, and if she's having a hard time just now, then this Scottish wifey, that's me, sends you some Daisy and Sandy hugs along with a giggle. This time too shall pass. Now, I want you to jump into your craft box, careful of them needles, mind, have a wee rake around, ooh, nice and soft, nice and colourful, lose yourself for a good 20 minutes in the crafty goodness. Right, come back here, get your pen out. Write a list of things to do. Now prioritise it. And remember, you aren't superwoman and you cannot do all the things all at the same time. You have to deal with what you have to do in the here and now, and tomorrow can take care of itself until it has you in it. With a list." And the Knack MacFeagles clan. Man, those troubles are absolutely stuffed now. Now find your favourite person to hug. Go hug them. Get an extra one from us. Don't do this by yourself. You mean a carry on. Love, Bossy Boots. Kiss, kiss. Actually, reading that back, I'm quite proud of myself. That's pretty good advice from his wise old owl here. So, have you lost your crafty camber? Nothing seems right when you start it. You cannot find the right needle size. Your tension's wrong on your sewing machine. Or you don't have the right stamp for that card. Or, mid-project, you just lose the will to live, and smacking your head on the desk seems such a better idea than actually finishing the project. I found myself doing this when I was knitting the damson. It's a difficult for me pattern. I think most patterns are difficult for me. I don't want to say it's beyond my ability, due to I think that my ability is constantly improving, and I do push my knitting boundaries quite a lot. But I think it's because you need to be precise, you need to count every row, and well, I didn't. So it serves me right, really. And I just stopped all creativity. Therefore, my life was off camber. I've been playing an iPad game called Draw Something. Oh, it's like Pictionary for iPad. And I was playing hobby and it came up with the word knitting. Oh yes, I love that one. Three coins too. I wrote me at the top. You're not really supposed to write anything, but, you know. By the time I had drawn the knitting needles and the wool, he had guessed it. I said, "How did you know so quickly?" And he said, "I was all things knitting. I was obsessed by it. I was always knitting. Eat, sleep, dream, knitting." I laughed. He said it wasn't a bad thing. He's like that with boats. There's a bit of a road south of Dumbeath in Caithness, and it's a triple bend and then a wee straight bit and then another triple bend. And you've got enough visibility to see, and there's nothing coming, and you can drive straight across the middle of the bends. It always makes me laugh when I manage it. Obviously, I always do it safely, nothing coming. And the camera in the road makes the car wiggle its bum. And we have to do it quite slow and safely, officer. So how do you get back onto camber then? Apart from wiggling your bum. And apart from looking the mirror email, I think you need to talk to your loved ones. And craft-wise, well, I was doing a hard pattern, and I re-listened to my interview with Susan Dolph from Knit a Journey. As I've said, it's still my MP3 player, and it came in first one day, and I thought, ugh, well, I'll listen to that, see what nonsense I was talking about. And I was amazed at how far I'd come on in my knitting. I used to be stocking stitch kind of girl, and now I'm all lace and cables. But then I thought, you know what, I need to make an impending niece or nephew something. It's stocking stitch. I'll do what Embrace suggested and come back to what you know. Come back to what you know. I looked out the baby surprise jacket and thought, nope, not enough instruction. I liked the literacy of Elizabeth Zimmerman, but I needed to be told exactly what to do for this. So I then found Milo by Georgie Hallam and I cast on. It's small, it's minimal pattern, it has no sleeves and very, very little sewing in. I then hooked on the Catsby 3-Hour Cowl by Catherine Jones, which is repeats of, oh, two stitches. And then I hooked on something for my next swap package for Trina, which I can't tell you about because she's listening, but I will when she gets it. And I cast on the Allegra by the lovely Roof Crafts, albeit, this isn't two stitches, but more on that later. I also made some leather bookmarks. Have you all got yours? Melanie, not you. No, not you. I've not made your extra bits yet. I put together some handmade envelopes with some handmade notelets, which was paper cut to size with Scottish rubber stamps on. So I was making stationery. Can you remember stationery? And like I said last episode, my crafty cup runneth over. I went back to the start. I raced through the cowl, the baby vest, and once I'd stopped talking about the damson, I could understand it and I just plugged on through it. More later on. Today I was off camber for half an hour. I was making something for a swap we were doing in my craft group with the theme of hearts. Daisy and I were upstairs creating. I needed a safety pin. I had a bit of a hunt around. I went into my wee knitting case, which I used to use for cross-stitch back in 1995, pre-knitting days. I had it in my flat in Edinburgh, and at the bottom is still some sawdust from the hamster I used to have. In this case, there are lots of old letters from my mum, my auntie, and my friend Mari when she worked in British Antarctica Base. They made me smile, lots of her tales of icebergs and penguins. And my auntie was recovering from an operation at the time, but it was my mum's one that sent me off camber. She was sending me stamps for my wedding invitation, and she just mentioned my dad. Oh, I thought. Then Radio Scotland plays James Vincent McMorrow, "We Don't Eat Until Your Father's at the Table." We don't eat until your father's at the table. Yes, I was howling then. And then the next card I pulled out was some of the wee cards you get when you get flowers, and it was from a husband, and the envelope read, "Penguin Features." Well, I was right back on camber then, and Daisy came over from making mess on the other side of the room, and she gave me a nice hug. Penguin Features him. So life does throw us off camber, but life also sets us back on camber. Just remember the wartime phrase, keep calm and carry on. I might change it to keep camber and carry on. Here's your wee Daisy hug. Now, if you need a pee, stop, because it's time for the Daisy laugh.
Hello.
Hello, section. A sandy hello to new to me, been with me a whiley, and been with me forever listeners. I do still appreciate you tuning in. Thank you. And now a sandy hello to the new group members.
Hello.
Knit, translate, to Zun. And I'm so sorry, that's not really very well said. That is RSD from Greece, Athens. So, hello. Hello, Greece. We've got Felteria from Cheltenham and Woolly World from Herefordshire, which is not Athens in Tropopel, but it's closer to me, so it's just as cool. And hello to Dawn. How are you? It's your turn and draw something. So thank you for joining. I love your messages, your projects. Please, everyone, please carry on putting up your projects because I look seeing what you're up to. I'm nosy that way. Thank you for the iTunes reviews. Well, that is if I had more ones, but I'm going to say thank you for the ones you're thinking about putting up. I do read them, you know. And if you feel the need to remember your password on iTunes and leave me a review, I will be a happy podcaster. And also, I'm not naked anymore on iTunes. My husband's picture is up. I re-changed the picture to see if I could give iTunes a bit of a kicking. And, well, it worked. It came off worse in the end. Now, the random hellos are to Bio Betty, Sand Cola, Penchant for like yarn, Susan Dolph, and Paula from Knitting Pipeline.
Hello! What's the e-crack section?
What's e-crack? I was off camber when I heard that Bale of the Ball podcast is no more, or not for a long time anyway. Thank you, Cheryl, for podcasting. We've become quite chatty on Twitter and swapped a few things in the post, Kilted Men being one of them. I still have a few of the early episodes to download, and I've learnt so much about spinning, the Pacific Northwest, the fiber boss, and her general attitude of life. She has this enthusiasm for life that's catching, and whilst I'm sad I don't get to listen to her mischief anymore, I can see her fiber journey is going in a different direction to the podcast. So Cheryl, don't feel guilty. If it's right for you later on, come back with a vengeance. If it's not, thanks, because we hid you in the first place. There's a new craft shop near Wick called Rivendale, and it's opening on April 21st, and it's going to sell garden stuff, there's wee cafe and some handmade items. Our very own Knitting Kitten 04 has put in some items, and if you're on your way to John O'Groats via Wick, please stop in and have a looky. Also in Thurso this week, there has appeared a painting on the side of the pumping station at the harbour, and it's very like the street artist Banksy. Of course, nobody knows if it is him or not, but it's a little girl and she's lost a red balloon, and apparently there's a similar picture down in London. And if it's not him, I don't mind. Next time I'm in Thurso, I think I'll go and have a wee look. Also, you may notice that there's a slight change in sound because I recorded this last night and it's not the longest of podcasts. And then I ghosted it this morning, saved it, and it crashed 8 minutes in. So I had to redo the last part of it. So I'm not going to say sorry because I feel quite grumpy about it. It's 2:30 in the afternoon on a Friday and yeah, I could just have a gin right now. But onto the bookmark swap. I have to get myself back on camber here. I have been on and put the swap buddies' names up, and I suggest that we send them by the end of April, which doesn't give us an awful lot of time. But I did say that that would be the time scale, and it's because the postage rates are going up horrendously at the end of April in the UK, and the bookmark swap police won't come and get you and arrest you if you're a bit late. Did you know there was bookmark police? But please don't leave it too long, because if your swap buddy has sent you yours, it's nice to send yours back. Also, there's a suggestion of putting in a book recommendation with your bookmark, which I think is quite a nice idea. Feel free to stalk your buddy on Ravelry, not in real life obviously, and see what they're into. See if they do a lot into socks and you think, no, they might quite like to have a look at the new Alice U. I don't know, Socktopus book, not that that's new, but you know what I mean. Or see if they're into fiction, like I like Lord of the Rings, I might like therefore Terry Pratchett, which you already know that. And I know people use Kindles these days, but when I offered the bookmarks, I thought, well, if you don't use it for fiction, then you could use it for textbooks or your cookbooks. And I was delighted with lots of your book chat messages too. I've just finished a Mark Billingham book, and I've got another one out by him from the library, so I'm cracking into that. Oh, I would like to see as well, the bookmark doesn't have to be knitted, crocheted, or leather, or paper, or anything. It just has to be a bookmark, and you can buy it as well if you want from the place that you live. Just something nice in the post. Aleta Allegra Knit Along. I am now thinking that my Allegra shawl is like olives, to me, or Maltesers to Abby. Well, it's not food, but, and he's not knitting a shawl. What I mean is Moorish, or Scottish tablet. Oh, can I stop when I get a square of that? Do you know what tablet is? It's like a hard fudge. Pure sugar. Anyway, think of things that are Moorish to you. I'd quite like to hear what yours is, food-wise and craft-wise. We have one finished Allegra. The very lovely Auntie AB of the Knit Spin Cake podcast. Hello! Have you listened to her yet? You should. And that said with a stern voice. Anyway, she's finished hers and she made hers using wool miser in a bright orange colour. And it's really bonny all finished. She did a good review on her latest podcast, episode 2. I hope your mate Mastis is still there, Auntie AB. When she said hello to me, I said hello back and the dog started barking because he thought there was somebody at the door. I am on my fourth repeat of the lace pattern of the Allegra and it took me a wee while to understand how charts work. Ruth has also issued errata to everyone who bought the pattern and it's my first lace chart and I'm delighted to see that I can work out charts. I've tried to write out how it works to tell you, but I just cannot get the right words in the right order for you, so I'm not going to. But please lash on at this knit along. Please join in if you would like. I think we have some really bonny shawls by the end of it, and you can get the pattern on Ravelry from Ruth Crafts. Now, a book review of Spin Control by Amy King. This year book I pounced on when I got it out the library in Wick. I also got Respect the Spindle 2 by Amy Frank-Mont, where I think she got married. I have a DVD of this and it was good to see the books in hard copy. I was quite delighted to see them as well. Wick Library is not known for its spinning books. Spin Control is more about using the spinning wheel and Respect the Spindle. Guess what that's about? Yeah, the spindle. Guess me, I'm so clever. But Spin Control, well, you never know, you might get a wee bit mixed up with things like washing machine spinning. Ah, no, I don't think you would. It's quite a famous book and I'm sure it's been reviewed a few times, but this is my take on it. It's published through Interweave Press and it retails in at 23 of your American dollars or 11 of my UK pounds. Its tagline is Techniques for Spinning the Yarn You Want. I was attracted to this because although I've had a very good teacher and I can ask the spinning group, I still struggle and grasp why I'm, overspinning or how to sort the bats out and, they're not always there to ask. And I'm also getting to the stage in my spinning life where I want to spin something that will make something specific rather than, see what I get. Oh, yarn. Look, I've made yarn. Now, I wonder what I can make with this here yarn. And then it sits in the stash. The book itself is a nice size. I measured it and it is 23 by 21 and a half centimetres, give or take. It has 120 pages and the colour photography is eye-catching and informative. In other words, they aren't just like arty, pretty pictures. Most of them are in reference to the text as well. Amy suggests that we be in control of our yarn and spin it to what we want, not just to see what we get. The book is then split into two sections, spinning techniques and let's make some yarn section. There's a handy wee fibre guide where she runs through all the different types of fibre and has a small paragraph for its traits and then it's used for spinners. It's kind of like a mini fleece and fibre source book without the pictures and it's 6 pages long. But that gives you an idea. And then a part I found interesting was the matching preparation with the fibre. If it was roving or if it was top, would it be better woolen or worsted spun? Pre-drafting and then there was the techniques. She moves on to talk about working with your spinning wheel, how you should get to know your wheel inside and out and love it so it loves you back. And this I found quite good but a bit technical, which my brain sort of stopped accepting the information after a while, so I've had to read that section about 16 times. But my brain does that with technical stuff. I just have a cup of coffee and I'll go back to it. She has a good section on plying and she runs into measuring success of finishing your yarn off, i.e. the washing of it and keeping records in a spinning journal. I do that. And then there's the maths page. And it has the twist and the wraps per inch in the counting page. I just read the paragraph headlines here. And you wonder why I need help. Well, maths isn't my favourite subject. Well, actually, I can do it. I just don't want to. Then, we got to make some yarning. She starts with singles and this is very interesting. She has them knitted and crocheted into samples of different weaves, which is marled, aran, wheat, self-striping weight, thick and thins, and then onto 2-ply and 3 and more plies. And there's some nice wee tips throughout the book. They've got them bigger text and there's a wee flower motif behind them. Yeah, I read them ones because they were easy. I think that's the idea. There's photos of both the hand spinning on the wheel, the yarn, and then the yarn into a knitted sample on the same page, so you get an idea of what to do and how it comes out. She then has core spinning, bookley spinning, and our favourite, from Luca.yarn, the art yarn section. She does call it novelty yarn, but we know it's art, baby. The glossary at the back is pretty good, and the ready reckoner for yarn, weight and twist, and what you get from how much weight, such as 4 ounces would make a hat or some socks or some mittens. I like this page the best. I would say that this is a good book. It's not the most technical, nor is the most in-depth, but you could then go on to the most technical and most in-depth. But it speaks to me, and I've put it onto husband's wish list on Amazon. I did tell him this time, albeit I don't think I'll be getting it for a while. But that's Spin Control by Amy King, and I recommend it, and Respect the Spindle, book and DVD.
I buy books, I never read, and then I'll tell you some more about me.
Now for the Me Show. By the way, there's no collective this episode. I've not shot them or anything, it's just I've not managed to go along to the anything. Work's been quite busy. Damson, shout it from the rooftops. I am done the Damson. I've called it row 73 because I was stuck on getting the right number on that row for quite a while. I'll read you my project notes on which I put onto Ravelry. It starts with, well. And it's said in that tone of voice as well. Well, it is really beautiful when it is finished and being worn, but I found it very difficult to get to this point. I cast it on 4 times. The first 2, just getting to know the pattern, which was fair enough. And the 3rd, as I just couldn't get the spines in the right place. Then I dropped the stitch markers and I started to read my own knitting. I suggest you count every single row until row 72, as I was stuck trying to get the right number on row 73 when the lace starts. Hence, I've called mine row 73. And this pattern uses every last yard, so don't skimp on yardage. It's a very precise pattern, and I'm not a very precise knitter. I am very pleased to have it to wear now. I don't think I'll be making another one. The yarn, which was Malabrigo sock weight. The yarn, the dye wasn't set very well and my hands went blue when I was winding it. It was kind of splitty and it didn't forgive being ripped out. But the stitch definition is glorious and the colour when knitted is slightly variegated and I love it. Would I buy it again? Undecided. I was impressed I had the right yarn for the right pattern as I bought the yarn and was gifted the pattern separately. I hard blocked it using all my pins. It does really pop and I'm very happy it's done. So I don't want to be negative about Yusole Teague or her work, but I struggle with this pattern. And you know what it is, it sits beautifully and I never took it off yesterday. I was showing it to a knitter who much admired it and she gave me a wonderful compliment. Your knitting is fair, come on, she said. Oh, I loved that. The photos were modelled by Daisy. I got her to stand in front of George the wind turbine so you could get an idea. Now, I didn't actually ask her to come out. In fact, I told her to stay in because it was quite cold. And then I says, put a jacket on. And she looks cold, because I had said put your jacket on, but she didn't have her ears on. Damn you, Damson. And that's not really swearing, because it's not got an N on the end. But thank you too. And remember, I still have an ishbill to make. I have the yarn, I have the pattern. And for all you half-finished ishbills in the closet, let's get them out later in the year. I still love Isolde's style, though, I really do. Milo by Georgie Hallam, which is a wee tank top for baby, and the pattern goes from newborn to age 6. I was talking about this last episode. I used a mint green acrylic bobbly unnamed yarn, and I got it for the charity shop. It's a lovely garment. Georgie has given 6 different cable options for the prompt panel. I struggled a wee bit with her instruction on the underarm part, and she does suggest a circular needle, which I use DPNs. However, I've made this once, and now it's going to be baby vest of choice. It's all made in the round, no sleeves, which is great, perfect for the summer baby. In fact, Mother has been given some colonnette yarn to make Daisy an aged 4 version. I think she's probably finished it by now. The cowl. I said last episode I was gifted some Blue Face Leicester by Crochet Star, which I have told you previously I dyed with Kool-Aid to a lilac colour. It needed, and it said it wanted to be a crochet project. So it goes on to Ravelry, and I found the Catsby 3-Hour Cowl by Catherine Jones. Where's my mind? Ravelry shop. It's really pretty easy. I think I'll have enough yarn for make some gloves or a hat to match. And I've updated my Flickr photo page with my project page on Ravelry. It was quite sad looking. So Caroline, yes you Caroline, put down your knitting. Step away from the computer. Can you please stop listening for a minute, because I'm going to talk about you. Well, something about you. Yeah, I am going to talk about you. Are you gone? Good, right. I'm going to talk about her. Rather, I'm talking about what I've been making for her. I've been making a wee project bag for the heart swap, as mentioned previously, because we are doing it for craft group. The idea is to make something with the other person in mind, but it has to have a heart or a heart theme. Caroline was using a plastic bag for her knitting one night, and I thought, she could go a project bag. So Daisy and I cut up an old skirt and appliqued some hearts from some of Daisy's old clothes, and I did a wee bit of embroidery on it. Then I put some ribbon around it and sewed it to an inch of its life, and with pink thread. And this is where I was looking for a safety pin when I found my mum's letters. And I did think, oh, I hope I send Daisy's letters when she's older. We send emails now, and we won't find them in 15 years' time and cry. But the bag's come out quite nicely, and I think Caroline will be quite happy that it's recycled. And it all coordinates, so I was quite happy about that. So that's me.
The blah, blah, blah section.
The blah, blah, blah bit. There's no drams this time, remember? I'm kind of missing it, actually. Not the actual drinking of the drams, but the sitting and having a crack with husband. It sounds quite funny. That's me, so thank you for listening. I hope that you're all in good health, and if not, good fettle. You can download me from Podbean and iTunes. All reviews are gratefully welcome. Please do carry on with the reviews in the comments. You can email me on keithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. You can get me on Ravelry as Louise J. Hunt and join the Keithness Craft Collective group in there. Also, I go into Seamed Up and Stitching Fingers for the stitchy things. And Twitter, Keithness Craft. Music is still The Boss, Bruce Springsteen, guest starring on a track by Jesse Malin, and it's called Broken Radio from musicalley.com, where you can go and buy it, because he mentions Ravelry. Maybe he's not actually mentioning our website, but I like to think he is. Anyway, thanks for listening. Keep on crafting.